I can remember the very first time he touched on my heart, and it was before I knew him. And it was coming home from working nights, and I'd fall asleep in the bedroom with the TV on. And I wake up and I saw the greatest story ever told, where Christ is carrying his cross. And I just broke out and sobbed, knowing what he's done for us, you know, as being still sinners. He gives us the grace to come to him, because God wants you to have that relationship with him. He wants you to become close to him. And it's not something that you just do on a spare of the moment while now. You need to concentrate on the Lord every day, every night. I'm not saying every second of the day, but take time out to praise him. Think of his blessings. That's one of the ways I do it, by singing songs to him.
Tell me a little bit about your, how did you come to know Jesus?
How did I come to?
To know Jesus. How did you come to
know the Lord?
Yeah.
I was a late bloomer. It wasn't until 1985 in a Billy Graham crusade. And it was Pilot Field at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I phoned to your father, the younger Graham, Franklin Graham. And I don't know what to say. That was after I had a back surgery back then. That was a mild back surgery. It was what my daughter's going to be going through. They call it microsurgery. Still, it took a few months to heal. But anyways, I was in constant pain. Oh, I'll tell you that one. I remember it was my first wife says, something's missing in our life. Yeah, what are you getting at? And I was wearing a back brace. And she says, Billy Graham's in town. Maybe we should go see him. I remember thinking in my head at the time, that was Satan talking. Oh my gosh, she's going to be a Jesus freak. Not knowing the Lord myself at the time. I said, how can I go? I can hardly walk. Are you kidding me? And she sighed and walked away, and I thought, yeah, I got out of that one. And then not even 20 minutes go by, and she's called around, Randall Baptist is going to lend me a wheelchair to get to the church, or to the Pilot Field. So my attitude then was, let's just go and get it over with, you know? All right. When I was sitting up there in the bleachers, listening to the story of the prodigal son, I don't know. It was the Holy Spirit. It just prompted me to come down. Now is the time to surrender your life to Christ. And she did too. We both went on the field. Eric, the moment my foot's, and I moved down to the field and walked out. And the moment I did, the pain left my body. And I remember saying the sinner's prayer. And I remember turning and looking at the counselor and saying, I know this is me talking, but I don't believe it. It's the Holy Spirit. And ever since then, my life has never been the same. We had a lot of trials. My first wife passed away of breast cancer. I'm an autistic boy. You know, I've been writing a book about my life story, about the things we went through. But you know, it's amazing when I look back how God has seen me through all those things. And I can't praise my wife now that I have. It's just so much. She just recently had, before Thanksgiving, had a heart attack. I don't know what I'd do without her. But then I know God is there to see us through.
Talk about the sign that was in the garage, and the, you said it kind of quickly the last time that you went through it. What was it that
the sign wrote? When others, we will not forgive. God's blessings are denied. We must forsake our stubbornness and banish sinful pride. Simple thing of pride is one of the big sins. It's just we think we know it all.
And that led you, tell that story again, that led you to make a phone call.
Right, led me to make a phone call to this person and ask for forgiveness mainly. Because I really truly felt that if I hurt this person in any way, I was sorry. And like I say, healing took place. And I write all these quotes and sayings in the inside of my garage. I remember when we first moved in the house, and I told my wife, hey, you can do anything you want with the house inside. Outside, that's mine. And I started writing these sayings and quotes in the Bible on there. And Yeah, so others could see it too, but mainly for myself, when I leave the house every day or went out, I could look at it and say, hey, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. If you got stamped on your heart, you're Catholic, you're not going to go to heaven. If you have stamped on your heart, you're Baptist, you're not going to go to heaven. You need to have stamped on your heart forgiveness. Because they preach, many preach there's many ways to heaven. There's not. There's only one. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you confess with your mouth and believe that he died for your sins, you are forgiven. Your sin is forgiven, past, present, future. However, that doesn't mean you go on sinning, because before we were saved, we were slaves to sin. But once you ask the Holy Spirit to come to your life and help you, he gives you that, and you become slaves of righteousness. The big word is surrender. Surrender your life to him. I mean, and, you know, when I, another thing I wrote in my book too about, like, yes, God wants us to love one another and care for one another. But you're not going to have that true desire unless you have him in your heart. And I learned that. It's not enough. It's not enough to just say, call on God and say, hey, I need this, I need that. No. I think of a phrase of an old president of ours, and I don't know, some might not remember. Or now it's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think, ask not what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for God. Because he calls us, once we are saved and ask for his forgiveness, we're to become new. And he calls on us to be disciples for him, to spread his word, to spread his truth. And one of the ways you can do that is even just praising him day and night for what he has done. My daughter, we have an upcoming surgery, back surgery. It's called microsurgery, March 8th. And I would ask that they keep her in prayer, that she, because she's got two young children and she's got a long life ahead of her. I believe God has a plan for her and her husband. But I ask that they, you know, keep her in prayer, and that God will give them both strength and encouragement and peace, that everything is going to be fine. With that being said, my main prayer is, like I said, I ask for prayer for my daughter coming up surgery and that, but I pray for anyone who hears me speak this, that they will come to know God's truth, that he has a plan for us. He does love us. And once you are accepting him as your Savior, no one can snatch you from his hand. The Bible says that. Even yourself, you cannot pull yourself away from him. You may turn your back on him from time to time, but he still loves you. That no one will take you are guaranteed salvation. Myself, I don't know what lies ahead. I'm waiting for, they said that, briefly, I don't want to dwell on myself. They did the x-rays on my, or treatment on my brain. I've gotten somewhat better. They said tumor shrinking and everything. Oh, I still got to walk with a walker. But I'm not afraid. When my time comes, it comes. God has taken that fear away. And yes, I pray for healing, but I don't know. I don't know how long he wants me here. No one knows our days. But my main prayer is that, like I said, is everyone comes to know him. And those who feel God tugging at their heart, don't put it off. Ask him into your heart.
Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, Because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps, someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Amen. You may be seated. And Father, we do turn this time of remembrance to you. We think about the actions that you have made, the price that you have paid on that cross at Calvary. And as we consider, Lord, as you have asked us to do, as you have commanded us to do, as we consider you, as we remember you, as we take you in and take all your actions into our minds and our hearts, Lord God, we pray once again that you will transform us. And I would pray for those, Lord God, who have not received you into their lives, that, Father, that you would call them, that you would beckon to them. Whether they're here in this place or they're watching us online right now or even in a tape session later on, that, Father God, your power would draw them to you. That your kindness, Lord God, that is declared in your greatness and your loving kindness towards us and the death, the cross, the resurrection thereafter. That, Lord God, you would draw people to yourself through this great kindness. Glorify yourself, we pray. Amen. My time with you this morning is not going to be long. It's not meant to be really a sermon today. I wanted us to reflect upon this scripture very specifically as we come near to the time of remembrance, this Lord's Supper. We're going to really emphasize that today, as we often do. And if you have not gotten your elements, this would be a good time for you to do so from the back. Or if you are in a place where you can't move, then perhaps one of our elders would bring that to you. But when we are thinking about the actions of Christ, as spoken of in Romans, isn't it interesting that Jerry, who really doesn't have opportunity to listen to us, they don't see it online, but he was filled with stuff from Romans. I'm not sure if you noticed that, but much of what Jerry used in his testimony was out of the book of Romans. And that was a beautiful time for Jackson, who filmed that, and myself to really just have that opportunity to sit and hear, and to, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time with Jerry over these last months, and Sharon, and they love you all. I just want to send that to you, and they're doing well as you can imagine. And God has really spoken into their lives. And I, you know, when he talks about singing, this is the one thing that he continues. If you ever talk to him, and you talk about his reflections on who God is in his life, oftentimes that is, the context of that is that he gets up in the morning and he sings praises to the Lord. He says, you know, I'm no opera singer. And then he went on to sing for Jackson and I. And yes, we cut that out for a good reason. Yes. It was a beautiful thing, but not something that it's for every ear. But you know what, Jerry, he sings from his heart and he sings to the Lord and he just gives glory to the Lord. And you think, what a rough, difficult place he's in. Here's this Vietnam veteran, right? Rough and tough guy, you know, lives his life kind of, you know, as he said, late into life, not really reflecting on anything of God. But God pulled him out. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a testimony that I hope was enough of a preaching of God's word to convict our hearts. He asked for us to do that, by the way. He asked for us to come. He's been wanting to be here with us to give his testimony in person, and it just didn't look like that was necessarily going to be able to happen. And so a couple weeks ago, we put that together. But his words speak louder than anything I could possibly ever say to you related to the Romans road, the way to Christ, the way to life. I was speaking to a young man this past week who wants to just pull himself up by the bootstraps. He's just trying so hard to get out of this lifestyle of his. And all I could do is, let's just cut to the chase until you surrender yourself to the loving kindness of Christ. There is no freedom. There is no true life. And so what is it that we are remembering in Christ today? It's all the things that we have listed for you week after week in this past month. We have been justified. Praise God that we who have called Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we have been made just as if we have never sinned. Amen. That when Holy God looks down upon my life, he sees forgiven, as Jerry proclaimed. He sees written upon me the very cloak of righteousness of Christ. What shall we remember of Christ today? That we have not only been justified, called by his kindnesses, but we have been sanctified. We have been made holy and are being made into his very image from glory to glory, into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. We are being sanctified. We have been sanctified. It is it's an interesting thing that Paul talks about. It is the stamp that has been put upon us, holy as unto the Lord. And yet, he continues to do that work in us. I hope that we can see with full face and full eyes that this past week, perhaps, we have not lived in a fully sanctified way. Our lips have perhaps not been fully sanctified. Our minds have wandered into things that are unsanctified, unholy. But fear not. The God of holiness does not hold that against his people. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been washed in his word. And we are no longer conformed to this world. We're being transformed. And so we not only sanctified, but we have belonging in Christ. How is this possible? That we, mere people, have the opportunity to come and commune. I point to here because this is where our communion table usually is filled with communion stuff. But how is it possible that we, mere people, can commune with the infinite God? It's because of this act of Jesus Christ. We have belonging. We don't have to beg our way into his presence. We don't have to pound on a door to try to get his attention. We don't have to do special things, food deliveries or otherwise, in order to gain his favor. But we belong. We belong just as much as that prodigal son who trounced and acted up against his father, took everything that he was worth and ran as far away from his father as he could. The father never thought that that son did not belong any longer. But he waited. He anticipated. He watched. And this day, for those of us who have wandered from the heart of God, he waits for you. He waits for you to surrender. But not only do we belong, but we have been gifted. We have been poured out upon by the Holy Spirit of God and gifted in such a way that we are useful to pour out his love. And this is what we have been talking about for these past weeks. We are not transformed just as unto ourselves so we can just have a good life, have freedom. No, we have been poured upon and filled so that we may be the very love of Jesus Christ to this world, to one another, and, as we talked about last week, to our enemies, to those who are maybe not so caught up in our lifestyle, those who are not maybe even representative of anything that looks like my lifestyle, those people who are the outcast, the Samaritan in my life. I'm called to love them with the love of Christ. What does that love of Christ mean? Certainly, not for many people would you lay down your life. Oh, for perhaps a good person. You might think about it and say, yeah, that person's good enough for me to lay down my life. But while we were enemies of the cross, while we are still sinners of the cross, while we were hateful and raising a fist and rejecting him, Christ died for us. That's the man God that we remember today. And so, in preparation for the Lord's Supper, Olivia is going to come. She's going to play. Now, I would just like for us to, whether you sing along with this song or not, just prepare your heart for the things of remembrance. And we follow him there. Choose this day to take the time to remember you, to consider you, and all that you have done to bring us to yourself. Glorify yourself in us today, I pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul goes on in this book of Corinthians to talk about the Lord's Supper. And he says these words, which are familiar to us. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we prepare that, whether you use the one that has been baggied for you or you take the one out of the cellophane. I kind of got tired of the little melt-away wafers, so made some for us. I won't be offended if you don't take the baggied one. But I think Jesus should taste good. The Bible tells us, right? Taste and see, for the Lord is good. And we remember Jesus Christ here on this day when he takes this and up to the upper room and he breaks the bread. And he says, "This is my body." What is he talking about? He says, "This is the sacrifice, like the Lamb of God who has been splayed out on the altar. He is the perfect Lamb of God that is given to us on the cross for our justification, for our true salvation, for nothing that the Lamb, a former Lamb of the Old Testament, could do. He has done it all. This perfect Lamb of God with his body taken and slain at the cross, he has given it to us for our justification, for our sanctification, for our belonging, for our giftedness and filling. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Take and eat." In the same way, verse 25 says, "After supper, he also took the cup and he said, 'This cup, the new covenant established by my blood, take this, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This cup, which represents the blood of Christ, which gives us the justification, which allows us the empowerment of the Spirit of God into our life because of His blood shed at the cross for us. We thank You, our God, our King, who shed Your very own blood for our salvation. We do this in remembrance of You. Take and drink. And I believe it's important for us as we consider these things and remember these things, we do exactly what He says here. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And we are proclaiming with this remembrance today that He has not only brought us justification and sanctification and belonging, He has told us He is coming again. Remember Him until His return. And so as we go back into a time of worship, let us remember Him breaking through the clouds one day. Remember in the future that He says He will break through and come to take us, His people, away. We thank You, Lord God, for Your promises upon our lives. We thank You for the healing touch of Your salvation, the healing touch, the healing that You are doing among our people here at Amherst. Lord God, we thank You for healing our nation. The continued work that You are doing to bring us together, Lord God, as Your people. Let us not hesitate in affliction, for affliction brings about good character. Let us not hesitate in proclaiming Your great gospel with our very lives. For in that, Lord God, we also remember You day to day. We choose, Your people choose this day to remember You, not only here congregationally, corporately, but to remember You day by day in our very lives, in our families, in our workplaces. We choose not only to remember You, but to also proclaim You day to day in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, until the very day You come and sweep us away, O God, and take us to Your side. We remember You. Blessed be Your name.